Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us yet on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today we have the pleasure of visiting with Dr. Tim Baker, who was voted one of the 50 most talented global training and development leaders by the World HRD Congress. Dr. Baker is an expert in teams and leadership and author of 9 books, including his latest, Winning Teams, which we will be discussing today and covering building a positive team identity, especially on this episode of Enterprise Radio. Dr. Baker, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be with you.
You're most welcome and looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters today, tell us, what is team identity and how do you define it and what are its characteristics? Let's start there today.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Look, all high-performing teams have a strong team identity. If you think about any teams in the sporting world or business, they tend to have a very distinct identity or branding, whatever you want to call it. And a winning team identity doesn't happen, you know, by chance. Identity is something that purposefully is built by great teams, so it's not something that will just occur. So team identity is what makes a team great, a great team great, frankly. It's not a marketing slogan or a fad. Robust team identity is an unbreakable bond and laser-like purpose that's shared by all the team members. So how a team relates to one another and interacts with its stakeholders really personifies what that identity is. And the work of teams is two-dimensional. And there's the task dimension and there's the relationship dimension. And team identity is largely shaped by the relationships dimension. And basically, there are 3 tactics that team leaders can use, which are called buffering, bridging, and building.
And Dr. Baker, speaking of buffering, how do you define the term buffering? What is it?
Yeah, I changed the terms from the research because I just wanted to make them a little bit more appealing. But buffering really involves protecting the team's resources from unwanted outside influence, distractions, or interferences. And of course, all teams are challenged by those distractions. And without buffering, other teams and individuals can easily cannibalize a team's resources, whether they be human, administrative, or technical. So, here are some very familiar examples of outside intrusion in team resources. For example, a short-staffed team exerts pressure to deploy an individual from another team to restore its capabilities. Or a project manager working in a matrix organization structure coxes a team member to attend several time-wasting project teams, restricting the capacity of the functional team to get its work done. Another example is excessive administrative procedures that basically suffocate a team with red tape under the guise of accountability and transparency. So a manager takes possession of what they believe is a spare computer to suit their team's purposes from a vacant workstation in another team. These are examples of what we might call about intrusions in teams. So leaders have to buffer against those intrusions. Not all of them, of course, but some of them. So these common occurrences are usually justified by the perpetrator saying that it's in the best interests of the organisation, but these types of activities sabotage the performance of an effective team. So protecting the team against these outside forces can be alleviated or minimised using buffering strategies.
I got to say, I personally like that term buffering and how it's used in these regards. Now, what about the term bridging? Get into some of those details and explain that.
Okay, so bridging is the opposite of buffering. So while buffering is the internal defense mechanism to shield a team, bridging involves reaching out to critical people and resources beyond the team. So having constructive working relationships with key stakeholders enables a team to achieve its goals. And obviously, teams can't work in isolation. So bridging strengthens the alliance within and outside the organisation. So robust business relationships and partnerships galvanise a team's relevance. So look, an obvious example of an important bridging partner is the team leader's boss. So without their support and cooperation, the team's influence diminishes and, of course, its relevance lessens. So teams, like individuals, can't function completely in isolation. So a productive team cooperates with a variety of individuals, groups and teams across the organisation and beyond. So that's pretty much what bridging is all about.
And certainly appreciate your insight so far today. We're joined by Dr. Tim Baker, an expert in teams and leadership and author of 9 books, including his latest, Winning Teams. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. So when it comes to building a positive team identity, what is building here?
Yeah, building involves cultivating and sustaining a productive team culture. Now, this is probably the most common element of team identity, developing a team culture. So it harnesses the benefits of diversity. It's about streamlining systems and processes. And it's about promoting continuous improvement. All of those things are essential building blocks for a robust team culture. But like buffering, bridging is internally focused. But unlike buffering, where the energies are devoted to keeping at bay external forces that might interrupt and distract the work of the team, building activities are directed to attracting the energies and enterprises of members to a common purpose. So in contrast to bridging, where the effort is directed at importing the critical resources and cooperation from the wider landscape, building entails utilising team resources to accomplish the task at hand. So there are 3 clear examples of that: improving your systems, utilising the diversity in the team, and adopting a continuous learning methodology.
And looking at the leader's role, Dr. Baker, what is the leader's role in creating a positive team identity? And do you have one tip that would cover this?
Yeah, well, look, the most important thing I say in my book, Eric, is that the team leader's role is to consciously work on those 3 dimensions I just mentioned, not just hope that it happens by chance. They actually need to put in positive strategies that will assist in buffering, bridging and building. Now, obviously, the book is filled with different practical tools to do that, and I don't have the time to go into all of those today. But let me give you one example. Mapping a team's stakeholders, in other words, working out who the key stakeholders are, what they need, how the team might better communicate and work with those stakeholders, doing that collaboratively with the team would be a very good example of a bridging activity. So by identifying them and prioritising those stakeholders, it sensitises the team to the need to develop good working relationships with all stakeholders.
Dr. Baker, certainly appreciate your time and joining us here today on the program and covering building a positive team identity and the information shared around that. Most appreciated. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
Look, I think the main point, Eric, that I'd like to leave your listeners with is that the relationship aspect of teams is the underrated aspect. I think, you know, people go into teams wanting to obviously complete the tasks that they're paid to do, and that's fair enough. That's exactly what they're there for. But ultimately, high performance comes from building good working relationships within a team, and I think that would be the key point I'd want to make.
Good stuff, and a great place to conclude here today. And of course, if listeners wanted to connect with you or to pick up this latest book, Winning Teams, where's the best place online to connect and to get further details?
Yeah, just go to my website, www.winnersatwork.com.au, and you can pre-order the book from there.
And that's pretty simple indeed. Again, Dr. Baker, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great day.
Thanks, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Tim Baker, an expert in teams and leadership and author of 9 books, including his latest, Winning Teams. And for all the details, visit winnersatwork.com. EPN.au. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.